Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 64th Berlin International Film Festival, and I'm joined by director Jan Dumange and screenwriter Gregory Berg of Film 71. Thank you guys for being here. So, Jan, how did you come across the story, and what made you think that you wanted to turn it into a film?
The script is that simple. I mean, I was looking for a film for quite some time. I was discussing with Tessa Ross, you know, Lizzie Frank at BFI, Tessa Ross at Film 4, Dan McCrae at Studio Canal. All the people I ended up making this film with, we've been talking about looking for a film for a good 4 or 5 years now. And I've been reading screenplays, I've been developing stories, but nothing really clicked, and I couldn't commit to anything because that the first film, you know, you might never get a chance to make a second film. Like, the first film really just had to engage me on so many levels, really. Anyway, I got sent this screenplay. I got told it was about Northern Ireland prior to being sent here. I was like, really? I mean, we've kind of had a couple of masterpieces about Northern Ireland. Does the world need another film about that subject? They said, read it. It's kind of special. And indeed it was. I read it. I loved it. I was blown away by the writing. The way it managed to tread the shades of grey, it managed to humanise everyone. It felt so universal. Why did I tell it? Because of the boys, the characters. I cared about them so much. And I was like, okay, it's about the troubles, but it transcends that. And I think it's quite universal, and it could be pertinent. It's pertinent and relevant to today. It felt like we could be talking about a number of conflicts that are taking place in the world right now, and I think on so many, and also the element of the dirty wars and corruption, and that, you know, these boys have been exploited and don't really know what's going on. It's also felt like I was reading about that a lot in headlines. It just felt like that's relevant to today. So I really wanted to tell this story. And once I came on board, we developed it together.
Yeah, that's one of the things. And I think, you know, I had written the script, you know, it was recognisably what it is. But at the same time, when Jan came on board, he brought so many great ideas to it, and particularly the idea of the brother at the start, and the idea of Gary having a younger brother and having something to come back to, having something to choose over the army, which I think is the crucial kind of thing in the whole story. We worked on it all. We worked on the action sequences together, and how you wanted to shoot them. Once Jan had an idea, we started to rewrite them to be like that.
Yeah.
And we worked on the whole kind of Odyssey kind of thing of it, this thing of him. You know, these terrace streets, almost like, you know, in the Odyssey, the classic thing is the sea and then the islands, and the terrace streets turn into the kind of sea, and the islands are, whether it's the pub or whether it's the house or whether it's the places he ends up are these islands, you know what I mean? And we just had that kind of idea of structure, and that's, I think, it worked fantastically well when you see it on the big screen like that, and these moments of almost surreal kind of things.
It's almost,
you know,
like we wanted to, you know, transcend being realism,
yeah,
and take a bit more of a mythic journey as it becomes nocturnal, as the sun goes down. And I mean, I think
Thing, yeah, that we had, that it was very realistic. It's very realistic at the beginning, you know, it's very realistic, and then it just goes, as soon as it goes dark, there's this other world emerges, you know, where, and it's just that thing of having him, you know, having him lost and adrift in this world. He doesn't, it looks familiar, but he understands nothing about it.
And the symbolism of some of the events, you know. So, but I mean, it was a collaboration, a real collaboration with the producers as well. And then the cast come on board, and, you know, and they start to influence the characters. And Greg has this amazing quality, like I've never experienced it before with a writer, where, you know, you can phone him up and say, I don't know if we need this dialogue, and he's like quick to go, fuck it, we don't need dialogue. And actually it went through a process of distillation, like it was already one of the sparsest scripts I've ever read. It was so visual, but I mean, it felt like all we ever did was remove dialogue. How can we show it in the image? Yeah. We took Jack O'Connell's lines away.
A mute lead who says nothing. Can we make that movie?
And what was amazing about Jack O'Connell is that he's completely up for saying less. Uh-huh. He was completely up for it. I mean, you know, if you line cut some actors, you'd be getting phone calls from agents. But he was completely up for. He loves being able to communicate something without words.
It was very intense. It's a very intense performance.
It's a great performance.
Can I ask you about the importance of realism in this story and how you researched it and maybe how you strive to achieve it, both in a visual sense and in a writing sense?
Okay, well, I'll go first. But the for me, when I came on board, I the Troubles was just like white noise in the background during my youth. When I was growing up, it was on the news. But I'm French born, London. I'm a Londoner. We spoke French at home. I knew nothing about Celtic history. I knew nothing about sectarianism. I didn't really understand what was going on out there, but it was part of the fabric of my childhood. And there'd be explosions here and there. But until very recently, I didn't really understand sectarianism. I didn't understand that conflict, even though it was all around me when I was growing up. But as a Londoner, I didn't really understand it. So, but once I came on board and I read Gregory's screenplay, and I was drawn to the characters and really felt for them on a human level, and it felt like, oh my god, it's humanizing everyone. Then I had to watch archive footage, read as much as I could. I mean, I'm a slow reader. I'd still be reading now if I wanted to be some sort of authority, which I'm not. But and then I went to Ireland, the most importantly, and I met people that had been involved, that had been active on both sides. I met some families that of victims, and it really brought it home for me, and it was striking. I think once I realised as well that all the key players on all the sides were like 20, were 21 and below. They were younger than 21. I was like, oh my god, they're all boys, they're all of a similar age. And I didn't know that at first, but actually, and I think I have to bring Greg into it, it's actually Angus Lamont, the producer, and Gregory that really taught me a lot about it as well, because where they grew up, they really understand sectarianism.
Scotland, Scotland has sectarianism as well, but on a much less violent degree. But we still have it. We understand it. We have separate Catholic and Protestant schools. We have, you know, Celtic and Rangers. We have all that kind of basic.
We don't have Rangers no more, do you?
No, we don't. They're coming. Hey, they're crawling their way back up. But no, but we have that kind of thing, so we know. You know, my mum was a Protestant and my dad was a Catholic. And when they got married, my dad's mum didn't like it. She didn't like someone marrying a Protestant. You know what I mean? So people had those attitudes.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, so it's there. And don't get me wrong, everybody got along. But at the same time, there is those divisions. So you know about it a bit. But I found that Angus knew everything. Angus was the man who kind of knew everything. But I knew enough about it to start writing the script and to think, well, I can get this kind of basically right. But at the same time, I kind of shied away at the beginning to write the script. I didn't really want to get told things that I would then put in that actually happened. I wanted to kind of take a degree, one step removed. When you're writing a script, sometimes if it's about real events and you want to make it fiction, and I learned this on the play Black Watch, that actually what you probably imagine happened probably did happen, even if they don't tell you, because people's behaviour is usually, you know, what you think might happen in that situation actually is what happened, because that's how everyone involved was thinking as well.
Yeah, well, I think that's I think that's in your case as well. I mean, some writers wouldn't be able to make that statement, but I think it's because you really understand squaddies, you understand soldiers. You grew up in a particular way. You understand their psyche. I've met a lot of writers that couldn't make that, that wouldn't be able to put themselves in that position. Without research, they wouldn't be able to do it, because I think you have this amazing quality where you're actually able to put yourself in their position and understand their way of thinking.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I grew up in that environment, you know, that working class kind of environment where people join the army. It's a legitimate way out. We had a kind of a running joke in our school that you had three choices of a career, which was, four actually, the dockyard, which is the docks, the pits, the coal mines, the army, or the jail. That was the career choices, you know what I mean? And so, you know, now there's no dockyard,
so
and the pits
jail.
Are shut. It's just the army and the jail. The army or the jail, or screenwriting.
He's working, he's going to have a house in Hampstead and start doing yoga soon. I keep saying to him.
Yeah. I'm so beautiful.
I mean, I think it's quite funny. I mean, it's funny listening to you about the sort of conflict between that split between your Catholic and Protestant parents, because actually in many ways that's probably why I understood it when I read it as well, because on some, you know, I'm half Algerian, half French. I could understand those splits between people that really are so close. That's a theme that I hadn't thought about until we sort of mentioned that.
Well, yeah, but it's...
I don't know if it's quotable, but, you know.
Another theme, I guess, is like an anti-war sentiment that runs throughout the actual film. But also the humanity of like people being thrown in a situation and ending up in that situation and having to adapt to it really fast.
Well, this is the thing that Jan said after he'd been to Belfast. What, not just the fact that people were young, but as he said to me, he said, you know, these are all just ordinary civilians who did not expect to have to do these things and had no idea when they thought I'm defending my home, first of all, my family, my community, the street. They weren't intending to become like major terrorists or anything like that. They were just trying to protect the people around them and each other.
Exactly.
And then before you know where you are, you know, you're getting sent to shoot somebody in the head.
And exactly.
But at the same time, the rest of their life might be very banal. They might have a job. And the Darts League, we make a joke about the Darts League, but that was an actual thing about this.
Yeah, when I went there, I remember meeting someone that, you know, that was involved in the Troubles, and, you know, he was just basically a boy in his early 20s, as well as being politicised and caught in a conflict. He was a boy in his early 20s that was trying to have fun. And, you know, they were in shebeens the whole time because it was too dangerous to be on the street. And he said to me, he really started to get into darts, playing darts, you know, because you're in shebeens all the time. And next thing you know, a dart tournament, you'd risk your life to go across the city to compete in a darts tournament. You know, you'd really risk your life because you had to go to this dart tournament. You know, it's kind of, there are so many, I mean, the Troubles needs 30 hours of HBO. That's what, you know, this film couldn't touch the sides, but it needs a massive canvas because it's the stories that tonally, funnily, tragic, moving. I mean, also to touch upon when you said about human, real normal people getting drawn in, as soon as I met them, I talked about the extraordinary scene in Army of Shadows, in Melville's film, where, you know, you've got these, they're discussing how they're going to execute someone that they really like, but he's collaborated. And, you know, and the resistance movement had moments like that. You know, these are normal people, and they're having to discuss how to kill somebody, and they can't use a gun because they want to alert the neighbours, and they end up, you know, choking this guy. And I talked about this scene very early on.
He sent me it as well, and it was amazing, you know,
normal people being making that decision. I mean, getting drawn into it, that was something we couldn't lose sight of. The fact that everyone in this film had to be humanized. All the archive footage of the Troubles, or the violence, if you freeze frame, you look around the frame, you always see kids. There's always kids there. I mean, what does that do? You've seen people getting shot at 10 years old. You've seen your father getting wrongfully arrested and beaten in front of your family at 10. I mean, there's too much of that going on.
As you work with the cast to help them understand the atmosphere of the, you know, the cultural context of the film?
You know, I think I don't tend to talk to people and try and make them understand, because I think personally I've got ADD, and when anyone ever does that to me, I just zone out, I glaze over. You just got to try and create an environment where they're feeling it. So like with the riot, there's no point in me going to the actors. What I decided to do is I wasn't going to say to them, right, we're going to do all your close-ups first, behave like it's kicking off over here. I just created a mess, like, you know, I spent the whole day choreographing the riot, all the extras, right? And I spent more time on all the extras, though you're supposed to call them supporting artists now, more time on them than the actual actors. And then the actors have something to react against. The actors are caught in a situation. Make sure the production design really feels real, the hair and makeup really feels real, and already you won half the battle. They're feeling it, they're sent there, you know. And then this tone document that I created, I shared it with the cast. And on the tone document, there was like 50 links to archive clips. So for those that were that inclined to do research, it was there for them. For those, you know, every actor has their own method. For those that don't like to, some actors don't want to do anything, they just want to react, then I created the environment for them. It's about trying to understand what each actor needs, not imposing my... And if one needs to sit down and have a bit of a history lesson, then I'll tell him to talk to him.
Thank you very much, Jan Demange and Gregory Burke. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.